إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله we continue the شرح of the book بلوغ المرام الحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني وعن أنس رضي الله عنه أن اليهود كانوا إذا حاضت المرأة لم يؤكلوها فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اصنعوا كل شيء إلا النكاح رواه مسلم Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, reported that the Jews, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever a woman menstruated, لم يأكلوها, they would avoid her and they would not eat together with her in the same place. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to the companions اصنعوا كل شيء إلا النكاح As for you, don't copy them, don't follow them. اصنعوا كل شيء You can do everything with your wives, إلا النكاح, except sexual intercourse. The Jews prohibited on themselves eating or drinking or even staying at the side of their women whenever those women were menstruating. So the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they saw this attitude of the Jews, some of them were surprised. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam let them know that this is not for the Muslims. That this practice of theirs is wrong. So he told the Muslims, "Isna'u kulla shay." Your wife, you can do everything with them illa nikah, except sexual intercourse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us know that it is not permissible for us to have sexual intercourse with our women whenever they are menstruating. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ قل وأذا فاعتزل النساء في المحيط. They ask you concerning menstruation. Say to them, وأذا is filth. فاعتزل النساء في المحيط. Avoid the women when they are menstruating. ولا تقربهن حتى يطهرن. Do not go near them until they become pure. So, The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let us know what is meant by don't go near them. He said, isna'u kulla shay, you can do everything, you can play with your wives, illa nikah, except sexual intercourse. The word nikah in the Arabic language originally means sexual intercourse, but it is used at times to refer to what we enable one, qualify one to have sexual intercourse with a woman. That is what we call marriage or zawaj. But originally, nikah means having sexual intercourse with a woman. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith says, isna kulla shay illa nikah. Do everything except a nikah, except sexual intercourse. Al-Imam Muslim recorded this from the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu. So the Jews, their practice was that they would avoid women completely whenever they were menstruating. But the Messenger of Allah corrected that stance is wrong. So the right and the correct stance is that we can play with our wives whenever they are menstruating. The only thing is that there shouldn't be insertion of the male organ in the female organ, so which we call an-nikah or al-jima'. When Aisha radiallahu anha, from Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, she said, قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمرني فأتذر فيباشرني وأنا عاهد. She said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمرني وأدمي فأتذر, I'll put on إزار. إزار is the lower garment. وإرداء is the upper garment. The Arabs, you put on izar and rida, that is particularly the males, just like what some tribes here in Nigeria practice, where the males also put on a wrapper. So the Arabs would do that, their males tie wrapper, and the upper garment, which they call rida, they also make use of that. That is the way the pilgrims dress. So the Arabs would dress like that. So the lower garment, which is called the izar or the wrapper, Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya'muruni, would order me for atazziru. So I will use izar, Fayubashiruni, and he will allow his body to touch mine, that is, you play with me. So bashara, yubashiru, means for a body, a bashara, to touch another bashara. So they say what? Bashara, yubashiru. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fayubashiruni, he will allow his body to touch mine, meaning he will play with me. Wana ahidun, why I was menstruating. That is, she is confirming what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, isna'u kulla shay illa nikah. You can do everything with your menstruating woman except a nikah, except sexual intercourse. So Aisha radiallahu anha used this statement of ours to corroborate statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will practice this with her, only that he will avoid having sexual intercourse, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ, do not have sexual intercourse with them until they are pure. فَإِذَا تَطَهَرْنَ, when they become pure and they purify themselves,
فاتوهن من حيث أمركم الله. Then you can have sex with them through the area that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you. So this statement of Aisha radiallahu anha corroborates this. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما from Abdullah the son of Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الذي يأتي مرأته وهي حائض, concerning the person, the man that has sexual intercourse with his wife while menstruating, قال يتصدق بدينار أو نصف دينار. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, such a man should do sadaqah with a dinar or half a dinar. Rawahu al-Khamsatu, the five recorded this, that is Abu Dawud, At-Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, and Ahmad, wa sahahahu al-Hakim, and al-Hakim said it's authentic, Ibn al-Qattan, and Ibn al-Qattan, ورجح غيرهما وقفة. Some of the scholars of hadith said it is a statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas, not a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now on this, we know it is haram for us to have sex with a menstruating woman. It is haram. The one who does that has not obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُهُنَّ حَتَّى يَتُهُرْنَ, do not have sex with them until they become pure. So somebody who decides to have sex with his wife while she's menstruating, such a person undoubtedly has violated the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what's going to be the penalty for that action? So from what Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed that such a man should do sadaqah with dinar or half a dinar. Now, majority of the scholars, they do not stick to this. Majority of the scholars are of the opinion that such a person is sinful. And some scholars said the hadith is authentic. Some said it is only authentic to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, not the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, if you say the hadith is authentic to Abdullah ibn Abbas, he couldn't have said this without having a backing or support from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, he could not have said it without having had it from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if the shaykh is not authentic to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he couldn't have said it based on his own ijtihad. So, wallahu alam, the correct position is that any person that has sexual intercourse with his wife, such a person is sinful. Then he will have to do what we call the kafara for that. And the kafara is for him to do sadaqah with a dinar or half dinar. As to what most scholars of the madahib are upon, that there is no any kafara to be paid by such a person. And now we said the hadith is not authentic. And most scholars of the madhahib, they are of the opinion that the person is what is sinful. And when they say the person is sinful, is not going to do sadaqah, that doesn't mean that they trivialize the offense or the crime or the sin. No, they do not trivialize. Only what they are trying to say is that we do not know of any authentic evidence that says so and so penalty or so and so fine removes the person from that sin. So they all agree that the one who has sexual intercourse with his wife, they all agree that the person is sinful. Why is the person going to expiate what he has committed? So this is where they differ. Some say the hadith is authentic to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some say it's not authentic to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For this reason, those who say it's not authentic, they said it's sinful, it should seek repentance to Allah. And those who authenticated it, whether to Abdullah bin Abbas or to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said it should do sadaqah with dinar or nisf dinar. Those who say it should do sadaqah with dinar or nisf dinar, with a dinar or half a dinar, they said, if this happens at the beginning of the menstruation, when the menstruation is still flowing, that is when the man decides to have sex with his wife, then in that case, he should do sadaqah with a dinar. But if the menstruation is almost coming to an end, maybe during the last days of the menstruation, that is when the man has sexual intercourse, then in that case, he should do sadaqah with half a dinar. So Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala subscribes to this understanding of the hadith. Because the hadith says he should do sadaqah with a dinar or this dinar. Means it is optional. And this scholar is trying to understand that the order does not mean what you can take either. What it means is that a dinar, if the blood is still flowing, means to dinar, if the blood is not that fluid, if the blood is not that fluid. So what is a dinar? Dinar, as I've mentioned before, is a gold coin. Is a gold coin. They will spend it in the past. Today we have naira, euro, pound sterling and the likes. Then they will spend dinar and they will spend dirham. Dinar is a currency that was made from gold. Dirham is also a currency that was made from silver. So when they say a dinar, if you want to weigh it today, a dinar will weigh 4.25 grams of gold. Since dinar is a gold coin. So if you have a dinar and you weigh it now, it weighs 4.25 grams. And that is why, what is zakat table? If you want to go to zakat, it's 85 grams. So if you divide 85 grams by 4, what do we have? Huh? Okay, 85 grams divided by 5, what is that? Oh, 4.25, sorry. 20. Huh? 20, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. So 4.25, we say one dinar is 4.25 grams. So 85 divided by 4.25 gives you 20, correct? Mm. So meaning 20 dinar. So in the past, if you add 20 dinar and the air goes on it, you have to pay like that each. You have 20 dinar, meaning what? You have 85 grams. So a dinar is equal to 4.25 grams. So multiply by 20 gives you 85 grams. So today, scholars easily say what? If you have gold at home, for instance, and the gold is up to 85 grams, and the air goes on it, you pay that out on it. If you still keep that gold at home, the air goes on it again, you pay what? You pay 2.5% of it. That is 1/40 of it. So once you know what is dinar, we said dinar is 4.25 grams. So let us leave dinar aside now. 4.25 grams. So all you need to do is for you to maybe Google it. What is the price of a gram of gold? They give you, maybe in dollar or in naira. And you multiply by what?
half and two five, you get the amount that is denied. So somebody who deliberately has sexual intercourse with his menstruating wife will have to give out the what, maybe in naira or dollar or euro or real on fast selling, the what of 4.25 gram of gold. Huh? You see that I give out 4.25 gram? If you have gold at home, it takes it to a goldsmith watch to remove 4.25 of what of the gold that you have at home. And if you don't have it, gives out its equivalent in naira or euro. All of that is there. So let's assume that a gram of gold is around, let's say, 39 point something, or let's say $40. Let's say a gram of gold is around $40. Huh? So 4.25 gram is going to be how much? Now, a gram of gold is around, let's say, $40. That is, if a gram is 40 times 4.25, $170. So if you want to convert it to naira, times 350 or so. No, $70. I said, if you want to, let's assume that a gram of gold, you want to buy it in dollar now, it sells for $40 per gram. And when a dinar is said to be 4.25, Messenger of Allah said you should pay what? You should pay a dinar, that is, you should give out 4.25 gram of gold. Now, he doesn't have gram, he wants to make use of dollar. So meaning he has to convert that to dollar. So how much is a gram of dollar? A gram of gold is, let's say, $40. So 4.25 grams would be what? So $170 to naira. How much is that? So let's around 61,200. That is what the person is going to pay for having sexual intercourse with his wife while she's menstruating. So this Allah said, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ كُلْ وَأَذَنْ. They ask you concerning menstruation. Say it is filthy. فَأَتَذِنْ بِالنِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. Avoid women. Don't have sex with them when they are menstruating. وَلَا تَقْرَبُهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ. Do not go near them until they become pure. فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَ فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ. When they purify themselves, then you can approach them through where Allah has ordered you. So this is what? The Sharia of Allah. So if somebody now violates that, the person is supposed to pay what? The penalty, the fine for doing that. And the fine is a dinar, which is what? Equivalent to 4.25 grams of gold, or is equivalent in any of the currencies. So that is what the person is going to pay. And if it is towards the end of the menstruation, it pays half of that. It pays half of that. No? Adi? Give back to the poor. To the poor. It's not that. Do you have anything? A gram of gold is what? $5.2. So that means it's more than what you have calculated. A gram of gold. So multiply by 4.25. Okay. وعن أبي سعيد رضي الله عنه from أبو سعيد may Allah be with him قال said
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أليس إذا حاضت لم تصلي ولم تصوم. The author brought this hadith to tell us what a menstruating woman should not do. So a menstruating woman should not observe salah and should not observe fasting. So this is what is established. A menstruating woman should not observe salah and should not observe fasting. And that was why Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was addressing a lady, so the lady asked her, why is it that when we are menstruating, we are asked to not to fast and not to observe salah. As for the salah, we won't pay back. But the fasting, we are asked to pay back. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, Aharu riyatu ant. Are you one of the Khawarij? So the Khawarij, they were called Haruriya then, because they camped at a place called Harura in order to fight the leader. So they were called Haruriya. So Aisha radiallahu anha was surprised at her question when she asked that. Because as a Muslim, you submit to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, even at times if he does not agree with your intellect. So immediately you start to question what Allah has said or what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. It may lead one into something else. You submit. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ أَفْرَتُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَئِهِمْ. Part of what destroyed those who are before you is asking too many questions. وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَئِهِمْ. And when their prophets ask them to do so and so, they watch, they will do the opposite. They will do the opposite. So Aisha radiallahu anha was surprised at the question that the lady Mu'adha threw to her. That why is it that we were asked to pay back salah, fasting, but we are not asked to pay back salah. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, this will happen to us during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَنُؤْمَرْ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّوْمِ وَلَا نُؤْمَرْ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّلَاةِ. We were ordered to pay back the fasting, and we were not ordered to pay back the salah. So we took it like that. None of the companions or the faithful companions questioned the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam over that. So a woman that is menstruating does not observe salah. Likewise, she doesn't fast. As for the fasting that she misses, she will have to pay back. But the salah, she will not do that. That is a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that is this hadith that you are reading. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was addressing the women. And he said, Ya Mashar al Nisa Tasadakna. O women, Tasadakna, do sadaqa. Fa inni uritukunna aksara alinnar. Most of you, that is, I was shown, most of you as inmates of hellfire. That is, most of the inmates of hellfire are women. فَقُلْنَا بِمَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Some women said, why is that so, O Messenger of Allah? قَالَ تُكْفِرْنَا اللَّعْنَ وَتَكْفُرْنَا الْعَشِيرِ. The Messenger of Allah said, the reason is that you curse people a lot. You curse people, you curse your husbands. وَتَكْفُرْنَا الْعَشِيرِ. And you show ingratitude to your husbands. مَا رَأَيْتُ مِنَّا قِصَاتِ عَقْلٍ وَدِينٍ. I have not seen somebody whose religion is incomplete. I have not seen somebody whose intellect is not complete. هذا لِلُبِّ الرَّجِلِ الْحَاضِمِ مِنْ إِحْدَكُنَّ. That can control a man that is determined, a man that has a sense, a sensible man, determined, that can confuse him, مِنْ إِحْدَكُنَّ, than one of you. That is, despite the fact that your religion is incomplete, despite the fact that your thinking is incomplete, you can still control a man that is well determined, a man that is very sensible. You can still control the man. Kunda, the women said, wama nuksonu dinina wa aqlina. O Messenger of Allah, what do you mean by deficiency in our religion and in our intellect? قال أليس شهادة المرء مثل شهادة الرجل نصف شهادة الرجل. Isn't the shahada, the testimony of a woman, regarded as half of the testimony of the man in the Sharia? That is what your Creator has said. So, verse 1. Kulna bala, they said, yes, it is. Kala for dhalika min nuksoni akliha. They said, that is what the nukson of their intellect. Alaysa idha hadat lam tusalli wa lam tasum. This is where we are going. So the hadith that of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri that Ibn Hajar brought is just part of it. You know, he said what? Kala Rasulullah sallam, أَلَيْسَ إِذَا حَابَتْ لَمْ تُصَلِّ وَلَمْ تَسُمْ. It just caught a part of the hadith. So as I read it out, this is the full hadith. That is what led to that statement. أَلَيْسَ إِذَا حَابَتْ لَمْ تُصَلِّ وَلَمْ تَسُمْ. When she's menstruating, she doesn't pray and she does not fast. So that is what nuqsan of our religion. The men will pray at all times, will fast, but the women, they will have menstruation that will not enable them to fast the whole month of Ramadan, that will not enable them to pray the whole month. So they will pray some of the month, some days of the month, and they won't pray some days of the month. So that is what nuqsan of deen, meaning what their religion is incomplete. But Allah is not going to punish them for the incompleteness. He's not going to punish them for that. But their religion is not as complete as that of the man. So though they are not going to be punished for that. But for the aqlu, the when a woman is bearing a testimony is half of that of the man. A testimony is that of the man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the reason for that, أَنْتَ ضِلَّ إِحْدَاهُمَا فَتُذَكِّرْ إِحْدَاهُمَا الْأُخْرَى. That is, a woman will forget, another woman watch to remind her. So the women, they quickly forget things, and at times they are carried away by emotion, unlike the men that can be determined and they can decide. So for that reason, the Sharia considers their testimony as half of that of the man, and their religion is also half of, that is, their religion is incomplete, rather. Their religion is also incomplete. So a woman should not fast and should not observe Salah when she's menstruating. Now, the author also brought the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Qalat, Lamma jina Sarif. When we got to a place called Sarif, So this is a patch between Mecca and Medina, though closer to Mecca. So she said, I started to menstruate. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم then the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to me افعل ما يفعل الحاج غير ألا تطوف بالبيت حتى تطهري do what the pilgrim does except that you don't do tawaf around the house until you are poor as pure حتى تطهري until you are pure متفق عليه في حديث. So this is what agreed upon in one hadith. So the author, of course, shorting this, the hadith is what is also lengthy. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions left Medina for Mecca with the intention of performing Hajj. So when they got to a place called Tarif, Aisha radiallahu anha saw blood coming out of a private part. When she saw this, she became disturbed because she felt she had assumed ihram. And with this that had happened to her, it's like she would have no hajj. So she started crying. From her cry, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got to know what had happened to her and asked her Anafist, that is, have you seen your menses? She said, yes. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, هذا أمر كتبه الله على بنات آدم. Now you don't need to bother yourself with this, you don't need to get disturbed. This is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written on the daughters of Adam. After that, the Messenger of Allah now said what the author brought here. إِفْعَلِي مَا يَفْعَلُهُ الْحَاجِ Do what the pilgrim does. That is what other pilgrims are doing. You should also do those things. You do talbiyah, you do all that they are doing. غَيْرَ اللَّهَ تَطُوفِي بِالْبَيْتِ Except that you do not do tawaf from the house. حَتَّى تَتْهُرِي Until you become pure. In one of the reports, it was said that Ghaira Allah, fa'amaraha, he ordered her, Allah tatufa bilbayt wala tusalli. He ordered her not to do tawaf from the house and not to observe salah. So, the author brought this to tell us that a woman that is menstruating does not do tawaf. Yes, we have established that she doesn't pray and she does not fast. So in addition, she does not do tawaf. She doesn't do tawaf. So this is why majority of the scholars have said that tawaf is like salah, that you can't do except with ablution. That you must have ablution before doing tawaf. This is the view of majority of the scholars. However, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala has a different view. He is of the opinion that you can do tawaf even if you do not have ablution. That ablution is not a condition for the validity of tawaf. Yes, it is established that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did ablution before his tawaf. But can we conclude from the fact that he did ablution, that ablution is what? A condition for tawaf. Huh? So this, the majority of scholars said, yes. How will the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "At-tawaf bil bayt salah. Tawaf around the house is salah. Illa anna Allah ahalla fihi al-kalam. Except that Allah allows, permits al-kalam that you can talk when you are doing tawaf. You know, when you are observing salah, you cannot talk. You shouldn't talk. All you say is what the Quran and Azkar.
So saying something that is different from that, you are outside Salah. Your Salah is batil. But in the case of tawaf, you can talk. You can talk, you can speak with the person close to you, no harm, when you are doing tawaf. So, tawaf bil bayt salatun illa anna Allah ahalla fi al-kalam. The only difference between salah and tawaf is that kalam, fish, talking to other people, is something that is permitted. So this hadith, a text, has been reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, some scholars say it's not authentic. As a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but is authentic as a statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Being authentic as a statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, this is established. But the Jumhur believe it is also authentic to the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So and that's why they have the opinion that when you are doing tawaf, you must be in ablution. You must be in ablution when you are doing tawaf. So when you are doing ablution, you are doing tawaf, you have ablution. Maybe you have done maybe the first, second, second, third, or things like that. The ablution gets initiated. What are you going to do? Some of the Jumhur who have said it is compulsory said, you go and renew your ablution. Then when you renew your ablution, you start afresh. You start afresh. While some said, you can continue from where you have stopped. You can continue from where you have stopped. This is the view of the Hanafiya. This is the view of the Hanafiya. And Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, also subscribes to this view. That the ones that you have done those ones. The ones that you are here to do, since your ablution has been initiated, you go and renew your ablution, and you continue from where you stop. It's just like the Hanafi position on somebody who is observing Salah. Then, it's an ablution very initiated. They say what, you should go and renew the ablution and build on what you have stage. This is the Hanafi view. So the same thing is extended towards the issue of tawaf. But the other Jumhur said, no, you start afresh. You start afresh. Because you have lost that one. But going by the view of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, they say it's not a condition that you have a vision before you can perform tawaf. As for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam having a vision before he did the tawaf, he said it is sunnah. It's sunnah, not something that is what? Wajib. Because salah and tawaf are two different things. Salah and tawaf are two different things. Yes, even Abbas called it salah, just looking at some aspects. Not that it agrees with salah in Muslims. And that's why said tawaf is what is salah, he said that kalam is allowed here. Not only kalam, you can also drink water, you can drink water, you can eat what? Food, and so on and so forth. So a lot of things can be done in tawaf. A lot of things can be done in tawaf that cannot be done while you are in salah. So why are you in salah? So Ibn Taymiyyah rahmahullah ta'ala, as contained in Majmu' al-Fatawa, argued at length in order to corroborate his position that it's not compulsory to perform ablution before performing tawaf. Yes, it's something that is recommended. But is it compulsory? Said it's not compulsory. And this is also the favored opinion of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. It's not compulsory. So, you see how the scholars attempt to differ on matters. Maybe a student may disagree with what the teacher has said. Ibn Uthaymeen, student of Sheikh Ibn Baz, they didn't have this of the opinion that what? It's of the opinion that you have to perform ablution. Ibn Uthaymeen, the student, said it's not compulsory to perform ablution. So he takes the view of Ibn Taymiyyah. And Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala is of the opinion that what? You have to perform ablution as well. But if the ablution gets initiated, you go and perform the new ablution. Now you continue from your aspect. So a source of knowledge, what one does is to try to know which one is closer to the truth. And you leave everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because this is a matter that ijtihad is what is side, ijtihad is what is visible. Where a student may take a view contrary to what his teacher has taken. And this is with respect to the issue of ablution. But as for Hajj, you know, this is what Hadathun Akbar is major impurity, or Janaba, major impurity. So somebody who is menstruating cannot do tawaf. Cannot do tawaf. So it is established from this. If Ali ma yafa'alu al-hajj ghayra Allah tatufu bil bayt hatta tatuhur. Now that hadith, if Ali amaraha an tatufa afa mar'a an taf'ala ma yaf'alu al-hajj wa amara an la tatufa wa la tusalli. So you order the not to do tawaf and not to observe salah. So this one is clear. It's clear. But the one with minor hadath, like not having ablution, that is losing one's ablution. So this is one we have discussed that scholars they differ on. But a woman that is menstruating, performing tawaf, this is what is prohibited. It is prohibited. So Aisha radiallahu anha said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her to do what the Hajj does, except that he ordered her not to do tawaf around the earth. Now let's assume that she does tawaf around the earth. Does she have the tawaf? Now violating the order of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if she does the tawaf, does she have the tawaf? So according to majority of the scholars, no, she does not have the tawaf. Because she has what? Violated the order of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And scholars of usul fiqh, a lot of them will say, النهي في العبادة يقتضي الفساد. If you have a text in the Sharia that says, don't do so and so in ibadah. If you go ahead to do that thing, it means you have that ibadah invalid. النهي في العبادة يقتضي الفساد. So he said what? Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered her Allah tatufa wa la tusalli. He said, yeah, if Ali ma yafa'ali al-hajj, ghayra Allah tatufi bil-bayt hatta tatuhuri. If you don't do tawaf on the house until you become pure. Now, you have cases where women will menstruate, maybe travel back to Nigeria, for instance, is maybe some few days ahead. And she has menstruated. And she has not finished her Hajj rite, for instance. She has not been able to do the tawaf because she is in order not to do tawaf. And applied back to Nigeria, maybe she wouldn't have finished her menstruation before then. What is she going to do? She's asked, Tatuf bil bayt hatta tatuhur. And maybe she will not finish her menstruation to perform what? The tawaf. So, and she's already booked the flight. Her flight back to Nigeria will be maybe before she becomes here. Can she do tawaf or not? Can we say this is what? A necessity. And she does tawaf while she's still menstruating. So scholars brought a lot of opinions. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in Zad al-Ma'ad brought a lot of opinions of scholars on that. Likewise, his teacher, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, also argued. And the similar the opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah is that in a situation like that, she can do tawaf. She can do tawaf. Why? Because she will be left behind. She will be left behind. And a woman is not supposed to do what? travel without a mahram. So in order not to be left behind, then in that case she does what? She does the tawaf. So this is the opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. This opinion is rejected by most scholars, and you see that opinion that is not incorrect, as it goes against the text. إِفَعَلِ مَا يَفَعَلِ الْحَاجِ غَيْرَ أَلَّا تَطُوفِ بِالْبَيْجِ حَتَّى أَشْكُرِ. It goes against the text. The case of Safiyyah, one of the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was menstruating. So when the other women said Safiyyah had not done a tawaf, had not done tawaf, so Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, aha, the Satuna here, is she going to what? Delay us? Is she going to delay us? Meaning, she cannot do tawaf without being pure. She can't do tawaf with menstruation. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, aha, the Satuna here, is she going to delay us? When I said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cut off that she had done tawaf ifada. She had done tawaf ifada. What she hadn't done is what? Tawaf wada. Not tawaf ifada. Tawaf ifada, which is the tawaf of the hajj. She has done that. It is only tawaf wada that she hasn't done. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if that is the case, we can go. And as I scholar, he said, tawaf wada is not compulsory on the menstruating woman. She can go without doing it. So tawaf al-ifada, which is the main tawaf, she will have to what? She will have to do. According to the majority of the scholars, she what? She would have to stay. And if she can't stay, she goes with the people. That means she is not lawful for the husband to be slept with until that thing is lifted from her. So if she gets back home, the husband cannot have sex with her. Until the husband escorts her back to Mecca to come and do what tawaf. Because she has not gone out of ihram. Somebody who has not done tawaf has not gone out of what? Ihram completely. So she's just partially free. Not completely. She has been only to do, for instance, at tahallul al-awwal, not at tahallul al-thani. That is the complete freedom. She has not been completely free. So and that's when some said she should go with them, and wait later they escort her back to Mecca to come and watch, to come and fulfill. So they've come about 7 or 8 opinions of scholars on that. So that of Ibn Taymiyyah is that she can do tawaf and go. Can do tawaf and go. Now, some scholars they take to this opinion as well that the kindly go, she can miss a flight because of it. Sheikh Al Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, is one of those who hold on to the opinion that no, she will have to wait. She will have to wait. One may say, this is what? Why are we saying she should wait? She will miss a flight. You want her to miss a flight? The Sheikh said, we are trying to cheat the deen. If she were to be sick in that place, would the family wait? Or they would they wait? Would they change the flight schedule or not? They would change it. Why are you not finding the deen? So she can change what the flight schedule. And if it's in the past, where they will travel by camels and the like, the family will say, we will go. When they know that what? She's not okay. They want to treat her. So why is trying to change what? Part of the religion. So the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala is of the theory that the position of Ibn Taymiyyah is completely wrong. Though most scholars they do not support that view as well. But are she going to do it? So this is where we have a different opinion. Some will say what? She should come back
like that. Some will say the people should wait for ah and things like that. But out of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, if you look at it critically, yes, he may, it may appear as if he's looking for ease for them, a way out, because it's like the case of Barura, the way it appears. But it's something that goes against the text. And what you have called Barura, in actual sense, if the woman had been sick, the family wouldn't have come up with the issue of that they have to go, they want to take care of her. So, and this is what the deen has read. So this, wallahu alam, makes the opinion of the majority of the scholars to be weightier than that of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. So what the author has used this to establish is that one of the things that a ahij, a menstruating woman, does not do is tawaf, in addition to salah and fasting. وعن معاذ رضي الله عنه أنه سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم معاذ عزري رفض صلى الله عليه وسلم ما يحل للرجل من امرأته وهي أحد. What is permissible for a man when the wife, when his wife is menstruating? قال ما فوق الإزار رواه أبو داود وضعفه. He said what is above the izar, the wrapper. That is, a man can play with the woman, but he should not go below the wrapper. That is, he shouldn't have sexual intercourse with her. So this is on height. So the menstruating woman, the husband can play with her, can do everything with her, except jima', except sexual intercourse. It is wrong, it is not permissible for one to have sexual intercourse with a menstruating woman, and it's not permissible for a menstruating woman to observe salah, it's not permissible for a menstruating woman to do tawaf, it's not permissible for a menstruating woman to also fast. So these are some of the things that are not permissible. So recitation of the Quran, this is the difference of opinion. Touching of the Quran is also not permissible. It's not permissible. For somebody who is not pure to touch the Quran, it is also permissible. So inshallah, we stop here. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge. May subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds, our good deeds, and overlook our shortcomings. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka rabbana wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. حبك الله الذي حبك الله. If it is at the beginning, say for example, the woman will menstruate for 5 days for instance. So maybe in the first 3 days, the man does that. So we pay full dinar, that is the equivalent of full dinar, that is what is the worth 4.25 grams of gold. So but if it is, let's say, in the 5th day or the 4th day of the menstruation, by then the blood will be reducing. So in that case, the scholars say half dinar. Now, according to majority of the scholars, yes, because majority of the scholars, they liken a pregnant woman or a nursing mother to a sick person. And Allah said, "Uman kana maridan aw ala safarin fa'iddatu min ayyamin ukhra." So whoever is sick or on a journey should pay back in some other day.
So they consider the nursing mother and the pregnant woman as sick people. The nursing mother is sick because of the breastfeeding that she's doing. And she cannot pass as a result of that. She becomes weak as a result of that. So it is like she's sick. So the pregnant woman is also sick due to the pregnancy. And the third, as for feeding the poor during the month of Ramadan by these people, is for them not to appear as if they are not doing anything. So they just feed, then they pay back, I hope it is clear. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala said, there is no clear text saying, another issue that is with respect to somebody who is unable to pay back until another year comes. He doesn't pay back, not he's unable. He's able, but he delays till another year comes back. The director of the class of the opinion that she will fast, she will pay back, and she will also do, he will fast, or she will fast, and will also do fidya, two things. So paying back, because that is a normal thing. Then imposing on him or her to do fidya, because she deliberately or indeliberately delayed. So this is the view of the Zetul Islam. This aspect, Imam Bukhari said, there is no what? There is no any evidence that says the person should what? Should pay back from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah. Yes, it is established that some companions say that. But that of the pregnant woman, the majority of his class has the opinion that what his compulsion is to pay back, not to feed. Then, from the majority again, some of the opinion that she should also do fidya. She should also do fidya. Up to this level. So we have the view that she should pay back. Just pay back, no fidya. We have the view, pay back and do fidya during the month of Ramadan. For her not to appear as if she's not doing anything. We have the view that is the only fidya she will do. Why? They said a pregnant woman or a nursing mother is something that repeats itself many times. So they are seen as if they are what? They are elderly people who cannot or who can no longer fast. So they are treated like an aged man that cannot fast. So an aged man, what he will do, or aged woman, what she will do is what? To feed people, if she has the ability to do that. So now Abdullah bin Abbas, radiallahu anhu, said, talking about the VAT, he said, later in Mansukha, the VAT has not been abrogated. Here, the Sheikh wal Mar'a, al Ajuz, la yastati'ani al-siyam, fa yut'imani makana kulli yawmi miskina. So the verse is still talking about an elderly man or an elderly woman that cannot fast. So they will feed in place of every day a miskin. So some scholars, they treat the pregnant woman and the nursing mother like that. And this is established from Abdullah bin Abbas, radiallahu anhu, and Abdullah bin Umar. So it's a matter of difference of opinion that the scholars will never agree, but to be on the safe side, let her pay back at least for Allah.
I wanted to bring that to be like if she has the
according to the majority. Whenever she has the opportunity, she fasts. And if she dies along the line, like Khalifullah, that is what she could pay back. Then her family can watch, come to her aid in that, after that, make it to her. Not compulsory, but you can do it on her behalf. But she has tried her best.
Like that kind of thing, how we do. Like, the other thing that allows us to do is
So I now use my, I bought the intention of using the hakika, use the lamp for the high house. Ordinarily, do your own hakika, give the walima. The walima is not on you. Huh? The sister that wants to get married to another man, the walima is on the man, not on you. But the problem is most parents today will put ourselves in what in areas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not imposed on us. If you have a female child, now yours is to marry her off. But the walima is not on you. But most people want to do so off, so put everything on us, despite the fact that Sharia has not put it on us. So that is what leads people to things like this. But it is quite unfortunate that we see good brothers who are upon the sunnah that will be championing the walima to nikah of their daughters. So let's leave this for the men, the husbands. We can assist them with money if you have. But honor is not our responsibility, it's the responsibility of the husband. So your akiko should be slaughtered. As for the walima, it's not on you, it's on the husband of your sister. So but if you use the meat, to give them to also say they know up. Because it's not a must that you slaughter a ram for walima. It's not a must. So the ram that you slaughter for Africa, so can be used, can be given for people, given to people to eat. But for you to say you are joining the intention of walima and intention of what Africa, this is incorrect. Allah Allah. Man can a menstruating woman enter mosque? This, according to majority of the scholars, no. Yes, according to majority of the scholars. And part of what they use is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her not to do tawaf. So in what of non-Malik, it's... yes, I know. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her not to do tawaf. So that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her not to enter the mosque. But some scholars understood that to mean what? Not to do tawaf, just as we have understood now that or not to pray. Why some understood that she should not enter at all? Yes, there are some hadith, like the hadith that says what Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came wa uju ibuyuti ashabi shari'atun fil masjid. So the companions, their houses were facing the mosque, to the extent that if they want to pass, they have to go through the mosque. So he now said to them, wajibu abi buyut anil masjid, fa inni la uhilli al masjida لِآحِدٍ وَلَا لِدُونِكَ. That he is turned the faces of these houses away from the mosque. I do not allow a menstruating woman or a junub, the one having janaba, to enter the mosque. If this hadith is authentic, it will have been what? A clear-cut evidence, but the hadith is not authentic. Allahu a'lam. The more correct view is that the menstruating woman can enter the masjid. As for the hadith, the other hadith, so it can be understood to mean what? Observance of the salah or tawaf. Wallahu a'lam.
When
now when the khutbah is on Friday, the ma'amun can they say any azkar? No, you are supposed to be listening to the khutbah. You are supposed to be listening to the khutbah. So being azkar at the lights is not something that should be recommended. Why? Some scholars argue that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha qulta li sahibika yawm al-jum'ah wal-imam yaqtub sa'a faqad laghawt." If you tell the person beside you who is making some noise or some disturbance, you tell him, ah, that is, shut up. You yourself, you have watched, you have committed a blunder. So this is what al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahyu anil munkar. Somebody who is talking, is this something that is munkar? So you are forbidding him from munkar. So if the Sharia says, at that particular time, forbidding of munkar is munkar. That is you forbidding somebody that is doing munkar, that is something that is wrong. It's also what's wrong at that particular time, except the khatib, the imam that is addressing people. So, the da'wah of the rusul, the message of all the prophets is what? Is to forbid evil and to command good. If the message is wrong, that is delivering the message, is wrong at that particular time because of what the message of the imam that is on, then doing zikru what will be more wrong. I hope you get the analogy. That is, the zikr that you are doing is for yourself. You are doing zikr for your own benefit. When you do the da'wah, you give lecture, it's for the benefit of the ummah, not only your own benefit. You are going to get reward for doing da'wah, and the person that you have done da'wah to, you also want benefit to. So if that is wrong at that particular time, what should be your own benefit only? It will be wrong. So this is the analogy given by some scholars. So it is not okay for one to be engaged in one zikru or the other when the khutbah is on. Listen to the khutbah. So if at all you have to say something, maybe you want to correct the imam himself, that is the khatib himself. This is the only one. But you addressing somebody else apart from the imam, this could be wrong. Allah wa'ala.
The
amount to
pay for when the woman has
access
to the wife, does it also apply to when the woman is in
nifaq? None should apply, because scholars, they treat the issue of nifaq and height, they treat them the same way. Okay. So the ruling that is applicable to height is also applicable to nifaq.
Second question, when you talk about when someone goes to Hajj and cannot complete the Hajj because of menstruation. So, first question is that, is it after the person has won the Haram, and does it also apply for someone going for Umrah also?
Now, Umrah and Hajj are the same thing. That is, you assume Ihram for both of them. If somebody who assumes Ihram and the woman sees a menstruation immediately, she continue what she will be doing, particularly with respect to the ajrah. For Umrah, the major aspect of Umrah is tawaf and sa'i. So, and she can't do both. Because we believe that a lot of scholars believe that sa'i goes with tawaf. That is, you can't do sa'i before tawaf. So in Umrah, according to most scholars. So she can't do tawaf, meaning she can't do sa'i. So, and what follows is what? Is the shaving of the air, or cutting part of the air. So she will keep in her ihram until she finishes her menstruation. Her ihram is intact.
Yeah.
Huh? So all the things that are prohibited for the muhrimah, she should avoid them. However, she cannot do tawaf, she can't do sa'i, she can't cut her hair. She can't leave. So she will have to wait. But after she finishes the menstruation, she doesn't have to go back to the court because she's still in Ihram. Only that she cannot do those things. Allah.
So someone was not aware of this ruling before.
But in the case of Hajj, for instance, we are going to Arafah, going to Mina, and the like. So she can proceed to do all this. Only no tawaf.
Maybe
the husband has intercourse with the wife.
Is there like a violation?
Now, such a person, if a husband has sexual intercourse with her, what should be done? She have to slaughter camel as the companions have given the first one. So for that, and she'll have to go back to go and do Yes, yes. Even if it is 10 years later.
Out of ignorance.
That's out of ignorance. That's why she's not going to be punished, but she does expiation for that. So that is the fatwa of the companions that she's got as a, that you think they have a sexual intercourse. Fayamun to perform ta'am. Anything you can use fayamun to do, that is with in place of salah, if you can use fayamun for salah, you can use fayamun to do ta'am as well. No, no, that's the layman way. Are you an nurse like that, eh? Are you an nurse? Nah, no. Yes. But this is asking about Ika'ah. Ika'ah, this is called Ika'ah. So sitting on the knees, this is the Ika'ah, but it's all the Sunnah. But it can only be done in between two Sajda. In between two Sajda, it can be done.
What about the one that you are doing?
Which one?
The cross direct.
What is it can be considered ah, if you are sitting on the east, but we talk about al-iftirash, this is al-iftirash. You sit on the right leg and read. Why is it tawarruk? Tawarruk, this is tawarruk. Like this, or like this. Tawarruk. So this should be allowed in the teaching that you are going to do the speech, particularly when it has to tashahud. Second tashahud, so you do like this or like this. Even this one tashahud, so you sit like this, you do it kemash. And if it's between two sajda, you can sit like this and you can also sit like this. So this is what the ka'adah is allowed. But as I said, all these are sunnah. Let's assume somebody sits like this in the first tashahud. Huh? It's the view of some scholars. Huh? That is, like the some of the scholars that the Nasir, they believe what the Siraj throughout. The Malikiyah, they believe in Tawarruk throughout. So the Shafi'iyah, they believe in the Siraj. Huh? In the first tashahud, in the last tashahud, we do what? We do tawarruk. So all these, they are trying to do which one is the sunnah. So this is where the, but if you do this, you do this, they won't say you have no sunnah. So when these are explained, they are trying to what, control you to what is better. Not that if you do the other one, that you are completely wrong.
Several years back, there was an analogy that in the car of a dog, that three human beings is made. This particular one, is this one not wrong? I mean, someone sitting on the floor.
Once you use your buttock to sit on the floor, it is called a worry. Because this is worry to the eat. So once you sit on the use your eat, so the book of should sit on the ground. So as long as it's got power. Yeah.